So let's turn to our Bible passage for today and our story for today. You remember, I have been here for the last couple of weeks, but in Joshua chapter 1, you had the message to Joshua as the people stood on the verge of crossing over to the land that God had promised them. They'd been 40 years on the journey, but now it had actually come to the time when they stood on the verge of going across and starting out the new life that God wanted them to have. In chapter 2, you had the story of the spies and Rahab, how Jericho was the first city that they knew they would have to meet and have to face on the way into the land. And there was this wonderful testimony of Rahab, who turned to the Lord, and she was blessed and kept because of that. In chapter 3, as we've seen, we've got the story of the actual crossing of the Jordan, that great challenge that lay ahead of them. How do you get across a flooded river that must have been flowing so fast? To use your swimming trunks and try and swim across was unlikely. To build a bridge, probably impossible. To dig a tunnel, not a starter. But God had his plans and his ways of leading his people across. And they had to face this challenge of, how do we do it? And we're going to think about challenge today. I looked at what the definition of a challenge was. And the definition is the situation of being faced with something that needs great mental or physical effort in order to be done successfully, and therefore tests a person's ability. Being faced with something that needs great effort to be done successfully. And as I've been reading the paper over the last few weeks, this word challenge keeps coming up. Have you read that? You know, there's the challenge of Brexit. You hear about it all the time. You know, there's going to be challenging discussions ahead and so on. There's the challenge of security, you know, and how we can protect ourselves. There's the challenge in the health service. How is it going to pay for itself in the months and years to come? So many challenges, and you read about it all the time. Well, we've got challenges again today, I'm afraid. For here were the big challenges as the people stood at the edge of the River Jordan, facing the new land. I wonder what they felt. Matt has told us a little bit about what he feels about going to Plymouth. Perhaps they're a bit like that, part excited, part apprehensive, perhaps a bit scared of the unknown that lies ahead. Perhaps keen to see the promises of God fulfilled. He had said he would bring them to this land, a land of milk and honey, something completely different to Egypt. Perhaps they were worried about what lay ahead, the uncertainties. The people in the land weren't going to roll over necessarily and accept them. They may have to fight for what God had given them. I'm going to suggest to you that there were four challenges that the people faced as they stood on the edge of Jordan that morning. The first one I've called the challenge to consecration. And we had that in verse 5 of chapter 3. Just one verse. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourself. You might think, oh, crumbs, that's a bit of an odd thing to do, isn't it? Why didn't Joshua say, come on, get your swords out, let's get them sharpened. Come on, ladies, let's get the provisions organized. Let's get busy. Come on, let's get our swimming trunks all ready, just in case it doesn't work out as we had hoped. I wonder what they expected they would do on that last few days before they crossed the Jordan. I wonder if they expected that the key thing that Joshua wanted them to do was to consecrate themselves. Well, we've got to understand what consecration is, haven't we? And in the Bible, I've got another definition for you. The word consecration means the separation of oneself from things that are unclean, especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with a perfect God. It carries the idea, you see, of holiness and purity and being right with God. And Joshua is saying, come on, you people, we've got the future ahead of us, but we start today. We start with a new, fresh start. It's time for us to get right with God and to get right with God now. And as they made that inward confession to God and they got right with God, They would show that by doing outward things, like they would wash themselves all over. And they would put on clean clothes instead of the old dirty ones they had on. A fresh, clean, uncontaminated start. And can I suggest that each of these challenges has got an equal challenge for us today? A challenge of consecration. All of our lives, of course, the Bible tells us, have been polluted and defiled by the sin and wrongdoing in them. They're dirty, if you like. But the great message of the gospel, of course, is that through his death, the Lord Jesus has made it possible for us to be cleaned up, to be put right with God, to be purified in his presence. And there's a great verse in the Bible that says this: the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. I wonder if this is a challenge, especially for someone here today, because you've never actually got right with God in the first place. You've gone on and on and on, but you've never actually entered into that fullness of a relationship with God and received the Lord Jesus through faith into your own lives and had that fresh born-again start that God promises for us. You've never actually had your sins forgiven and had the knowledge that they've been dealt with through what the Lord Jesus has done for us. You know, God was going to do amazing things, Joshua said, for the people. And God is still the same God, and he can do amazing things in our lives, but we have to be right with him. We have to receive the Lord Jesus. We have to give our lives over to him and live for him. And even if we've never become a Christian before, the challenge for us is to do it today. And if we are Christians, we still need this time, don't we, when we need to think about consecration. We need to just sit down and think quietly about our relationship with God, to get back on track, if you like. I was thinking of it like this. On our computers, you periodically run a virus check, don't you, to see if something has infected your computer. And Paul didn't tell us, but he's had a virus infect his computer. And that's why we haven't got a church diary particularly this month so far. In our lives as Christians, we need to do a virus check. We need to just stop and think, are there things in my life that I need to get rid of? That I need to own up to, confess before God, know I'm forgiven on a day-to-day basis, and the relationship is kept strong and healthy. So it's a challenge for us to take up the challenge to consecration. The second challenge they've got, I've called the challenge to progression, verses 14 to 17. The people broke camp to cross the Jordan. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went on ahead of them. And it goes on to say that the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. The message from God through Joshua was, go on, go on, go into the land and take possession of it, make it your own, overcome the barrier that's there in God's strength, enter into all the promises of the new land that God had said would be theirs. Now, it took some faith to do that, didn't it? Joshua had to order what God had told him to. He'd never seen it happen before. Had to trust God. God had told him, take the ark. As soon as the priests carrying the ark, their feet touch the ground, the water will stop. The people are to cross over. It took real faith, real trust in God to do what he said. Then there were the priests. Imagine you were one of the priests carrying the ark on the pole. You've got this raging torrent and Joshua's telling you, yeah, just walk in there. It'll be all right. Just walk in. Took some courage to take that first step into the water, didn't it? And then the people. Sure, the river dried up. It's further upstream, something happened that stopped the water flowing. The water flowed away. They were left with open ground where the floods had been. Joshua said, yeah, okay, over you go. Would you want to do that? Wouldn't you have in the back of your mind, oh, perhaps it will start flowing again? in a few minutes' time. We'll be swept away. We and all the kids and all our animals and everything we've got, we'll lose it all. But the people walked in faith and crossed over to the other side. The key was faith, wasn't it? The key was trust. They could believe God and act on that faith by moving forward into something they'd never done or experienced before. And the challenge I would suggest for us is we sometimes get stuck in the past in our Christian lives. We don't grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth, as the Bible puts it. We get stale in our Christian lives. I wonder if we're ever really growing deeper in our relationship with God. I wonder if we have more understanding of the Bible this year than we had last year. I wonder if we're more trusting in God's promises this year than last year. I wonder if our character is improving as the fruit of the Spirit is seen more in our actions and in our behavior than it was last year. Sometimes there can be lots of barriers to enter into all that God wants for us. It may well be we've got a family that isn't supportive and not really helpful to us. It may well be we've got sinful inclinations within us that hold us back. It may well be, to be honest, that we're a bit lazy and we don't give the time we ought to. It may be that we're really attracted to the things of the world, the things out there, so many things we can do and get involved in, but they're not really particularly helpful for us as a Christian. Or perhaps it can be the barrier of ill health and we struggle from day to day with that. The challenge is to overcome them all and to keep on going with God's help. The key in crossing the flooded river was the Ark of the Covenant, wasn't it? That special box that was kept in the tabernacle in the most holy place, and it was a place where God's presence was seen. And the fact that that ark was there in the middle of the river was an assurance to the people that no matter what happened to them, God was there and he was with them and he was acting on their behalf. And as we seek to move forward in our lives, in our Christian lives, in our ordinary lives, we move forward in the knowledge that as Christians, God is with us and supporting us and helping us. I wondered if there was a little picture of the Lord Jesus in that ark. What I was thinking of was this. If you like, there's a river of God's judgment flowing against all of us. All the wrong things we've done, God will judge. But when the ark went into the water, the judgment was stopped. The river was stopped. And when the Lord Jesus came into our world, and when he went to that cross, and when he died there, God's judgment was stopped. All those who trust and step forward, as those people did. We're able to cross, as it were, from darkness, says the Bible, to light. We're able to cross from sin to salvation, to be saved and rescued. We're able to cross from hell being our end and destination to heaven being our wonderful destination. And we can go on with an ongoing relationship with God through the Lord Jesus, who went into the river of God's judgment for us. And we can bring God on a daily basis into our lives, knowing that he's with us and helping us. You know, there's one difference there. Did you notice when the ark went into the river, Joshua didn't say, all crowd around the ark. He said, no, keep back. 2,000 cubits, 900 meters, keep a kilometer back. You're not to go near. This is God. He is holy. Don't go near. He's with you, yes, but he's different. He's special. In the Lord Jesus, things are different. He doesn't say, stay away. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel is we can come to God through the Lord Jesus. We have access into God's very presence and can speak to God through the Holy Spirit that God gives us. We're included, not separated. That's a wonderful privilege that we have. Joshua said to the people, you haven't been this way before. And in our lives there will be occasions where barriers come up and we have to go through them and we get to a place where we haven't been this way before. What made the difference is that God was with them. In that ark, in his presence. And as Matt moves to Plymouth, and as we have different changes in our lives that come sometimes take us completely by surprise, when we have baby number two coming along after baby number one, when we have all sorts of different issues that might come on with our families that we hadn't expected, we haven't been that way before. But God said, but Joshua said, you know, God is with you. And we can take that promise with us too. As we face issues, as we come to barriers, the challenges, to go through them and to come into all the blessings that God has for us. The other thing I notice about this story is that God didn't give them all the answers all at once. They knew, because they sent spies out, that they had the big city of Jericho problem just a few miles away. And God didn't tell them how he was going to deal with that. He didn't tell them how they were going to deal with all the other issues that they were going to face. He took them step by step. And they had to trust him step by step. And we can't expect God to give us what's going to happen to us for the next 20 years. But we can expect him to take us on step by step if we go on trusting. The third challenge was the challenge of commemoration. Commemoration. We've thought about that. We've got our little stones here. Things that mark something to be remembered. Now, what's wonderful about the story is that actually, if you look in the history books, the Jordan has stopped flowing several times, even within living memory. Because what happens is some of the banks collapse in a landslide and the river is blocked for a time. So God could have used that. But of course, what's miraculous is it happened just at the time that God said. And it happened for long enough that the people could cross. And it flowed again once they got across and once the priests had stepped out. And God said, I'm giving you this memorial of the amazing thing I've done, and it's going to be there. It's not wood that's going to rot, it's stone that's going to last. And it's going to be there as a memorial, a celebration of what I have done for you. God uses memorials to remind his people of things he wants remembered. We still use memorials today, don't we? We have celebratory memorials, victory memorials. We have memorials that, for example, remember those who have passed on before, someone who has died. If you go down to Leon Solent and walk along the front, there are the benches there, and almost all of them have got a little plaque on. They're a memorial to somebody. And the name and something about them is sometimes on there. And Rosemary and I would quite like one of those when we're gone, just to remember us too. There are war memorials, aren't there? When we were away, we went into our memorial garden. Different ways in which people and things can be remembered. And when we were last year in Exeter Cathedral, there's this memorial plaque, which struck me. And here are the words that it says on there. It says, sacred to the memory of Rachel Charlotte O'Brien, wife of Captain E.J. O'Brien of His Majesty's 24th Regiment and daughter of Joseph Frobisher Esquire of Montreal, Canada. Her death was occasioned by her clothes catching fire. Seeing the flames communicating to her infant, all regard to her own safety was lost in the more powerful consideration of saving her child. And rushing out of the room, she preserved its life at the sacrifice of her own. She expired on the 13th of December, AD 1800, in the 19th year of her age. A sad memorial, isn't it? Her name is remembered, and we've just looked at it again, 200 and odd years later. A sacrifice that she made that her child might survive. And the Lord Jesus has given us a memorial, hasn't he? A way of remembering him. It's not a plaque anywhere. It's not a pile of stones. It's not a piece of a cross. He says, the way I want you to remember me is in taking simple things like bread and wine. It's a memorial. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And this is the answer, perhaps, to how we can be helped. What the psalmist said, you know, I never will forget what you've done for me. Tonight at 6:30, we'll have an opportunity to do that, a time of open worship, of congregation-led worship, and we'll take bread and wine in memory of the Lord Jesus. Can I suggest to you, it's an important memorial, and one that we should all take heed to do if we possibly can. The Lord Jesus didn't just give his life for one, he gave his life for many. And next week, if it's the first Sunday in the month, we should be remembering the Lord in this way as well at our old age. So it is an opportunity for us all to remember the Lord Jesus. Those 12 stones were not only a memorial, but they were a teaching aid. Joshua said to the people, when your descendants, your children, say to you, like kids do, what's that, Mum? What's that, Dad? What's that pile of stones there for? Why are people being very careful about that? What's it all about, Mum? What's it all about, Dad? And he said, you can use this to lead them into the story of how the Lord their God brought the people safely across the Jordan. And this is one of the challenges that parents have, isn't it? To pass on from one generation to the other the things of God. And parents here today, this is a job for you to take on. We in the church can do our bit, but too, we trust that you'll be able to take on the challenge of sharing with your children something of God's word and something of himself, and sharing your testimony with them also. The last one is the challenge of commemoration, and then the challenge of faithfulness first, as I've called it, faithfulness first. We didn't read it in chapter 5, but if we were to go into verse number 2 of chapter 5, it says about all the other people around there had heard what's going on, and they were really scared, and they didn't have the courage to go and fight them. But the Lord said to him, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites. All I can say is, ouch. Ooh. Come on, surely what they should be doing is getting on with the fight. They're across. Come on, let's go. Let's move forward. Let's be busy. Come on, soldiers, start your training. Get your weapons sorted. The kings will be afraid. We've got an element of surprise. Let's go for it. Actually, says God says, just stop. There's something to be done first. There's something to be done first. All the males should have been circumcised as they were a sign of part of God's covenant people. But in the wilderness, it hadn't happened. The whole generation had come up that hadn't been circumcised. God's covenant was in suspension, as it were, while they were wandering in the desert as a result of their unfaithfulness. Now it was time for a fresh start. And they were circumcised. Can't think of anything worse, can you, than your army having bits chopped off, ready for a fight in a few days' time. Doesn't make sense, but it does to God. Because faithfulness is important. It was an instruction they should have been keeping, but they hadn't, and it had to be sorted. And God wants us to follow his instructions. Faithfulness to him, loyalty to him is important. And then we go on a bit further, and we read how on the 14th day of the month, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. It surely wasn't just a coincidence that they just happened to cross the river on the 10th of the month of the Passover so they could prepare it for the 14th day. God was in control of all this. And it was important for them that they should do what God had instructed, which is every year, as a memorial, you keep the Passover to remind them of how God had brought them out of Egypt and all that they owed to him. And after all those years of promise, here they now were, in their new home, a very special time. They had to make time for God. And in the busyness of our lives, everything we've got on, it's faithfulness first. We need to make time for God. Follow his instructions. Live the sort of life that he wants us to live. It's important to him. And we read at the end that the manna that they had been feeding on all the way through the desert, all the way through the wilderness, in all their journeys, they got into the promised land, and the next day, the manna stopped. God didn't lead them with nothing. They were in the new land with all its goodness. They would have to do it differently. But God is still providing. The miracle had stopped, but God was still providing in another way. And in our lives, as we go through them day by day, week by week, month by month, yeah, we know that God can work miracles, but it's the exception rather than the rule. He wants to work with us. He's still providing, but he provides it perhaps in a different sort of a way. We have to plan, we have to prepare, we have to make an effort. We have to use other people and their skills to help us too. But it's faithfulness first. And the busyness of our lives and all the things we're doing, even in Christian things, let's not ignore that God has to have his place. That our relationship with him has to be kept strong and vital. Four challenges we've thought about. Four challenges that face the Israelites to consecrate themselves, to move forward trusting God, to commemorate and remember God and never forget what he had done for them, and to be faithful in carrying out the instructions that God wanted them to do. These are instructions and challenges for us too. To consecrate ourselves, to be clean with God, and if we've never done it before, receive the Lord Jesus as our salvation and enter into all that God has promised for us. In our lives, as we move forward from day to day, from week to week, to move forward in faith, trusting God, knowing he is with us, and enter into all the blessings and promises that he has as we live by faith. To do what the Lord asked us to do, to remember him in taking bread and wine, and in baptism too as another way of showing that we are the Lord's. And then in our faithfulness, to show that we have that loving relationship with God and make time for him.